devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Ranganath. Hare Krishna. You know, there were some others in the Gaudiya Sampradaya lately who criticized Srila Prabhupada, you may be aware or not, that he named his deities different names than Vrindavan names for Krishna. You may have heard. Mm-hmm. Like Radha Partha Sarathi or something like that. Now, this song is by Rupa Goswami. Jaya Radha Madhava. Madhava is not a Vrindavan. What does Madhava mean? Yeah, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Husband of the goddess of fortune is not living in Vrindavan. You understand? This is what is called union and separation. This is the Gaudiya Vaishnava ideal. Union and separation. Not just union. We want union, definitely. We want to be with Krishna. But the feeling that I must have Krishna, even when he's not present before me, that is even more intense. You understand? That is even more intense, as described in the Krishna book with the gopis. So anyone who will criticize Srila Prabhupada for naming Krishna in his different temples by different names other than Gopal, Govinda, they must also criticize Rupa Goswami. You understand? Be strong in understanding that Srila Prabhupada's vision is perfect. He understands everything. You see? And this meaning of Radha Madhava is like that. That Krishna may not be before me. He may be off in Dwarka somewhere, dallying around as a king. But I'm thinking of him here in Vrindavan. Just like when the gopis want to bring Jagannath back from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. You understand? This meaning, always understand how Srila Prabhupada's vision is so high. You see. So we'll chant the shloka today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jiva Navakti Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam Chetash Chana Smarati Tach Charanaravindam Krishnaya No Namati Yach Chira Ekadapi Tan Ananya Dvam Asato Akrita Vishnu Krityan Jiva Navakti Bhagavaguna Namadeyam Chetas Chana Smarati Tach Charanara Vindam Krishnaya No Namati Yachira Ekadapi Tan Anaya Dvam Asato Akrita Vishnu Krityan. Anybody? Jiva Navakti Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam Chetaschana Smarati Tacharanaravindam Krishnaya No Namati Tacharake Kadapi Tananayadva Masato Krita Vishnu Krityan Jivana Bhakti Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam Te chaschana smarati tach charanaravindam. Krishnaya no namati yachchira ekadapi. Tananaya dvam asato krita vishnu kityan. Jivana bhakti bhagavat guna namadeyam. Chetaschana smarati tacharanaravindam. Krishnaya no namati yachchira ekadapi. Tananayo dvam asato krita vishnu krityam. Anybody else? Here we go word by word, yeah? Jiva means the tongue. Na, not. Bhakti, chants. Bhagavat, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna, transcendental qualities. Nama, and the holy names. Deyam, imparting. Chetaha, the heart. Cha, also. Na, not. Smarati, remembers. Tat, his. Charanaravindam, lotus feet. Krishnaya, unto Lord Krishna, through his deity in the temple. No, not. Namati, bows. Yat, whose. Shira, means head. Ekata, api, even once. Tan, them. Anaya dvam, bring before me. Asata, remember yesterday we had the same word. Sat meaning eternal or devotee. Asata, the non-devotees. Akrita, not performing. Vishnu, krityan, duties toward Lord Vishnu. I remember that Yamaraj is not taking any interest in the souls that are in other forms of life. He's not interested in the souls who are in the animal bodies or fish bodies or bird bodies or tree bodies. No sin involved in their activities because their consciousness is covered. There's no choice involved there. You understand? So here Yamaraj saying this. He said, my dear servants, please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once. Ekadi. What is that? Even once. Ekada api, even once. Even once. Even once. Huh? Do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties toward Lord Krishna, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring me, and this is Srila Prabhupada, all such fools and rascals. These Vishnu Krityan, fools and rascals, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Vishnu Krityan is very important in this verse because the purpose of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. Varnashram Dharma is also meant for that purpose, as stated in the Vishnu Purana. Varnashrama charavata purushena para puman Vishnur aradyate panta nanyat tat tosha karanam. Human society is meant to follow strictly the Varnashram Dharma, which divides society into four social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and four spiritual divisions, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Varnashram Dharma easily brings one nearer to Lord Vishnu, who is the only true objective in human society. Nate vidu svartagatim hi Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada used this quote very much, that people don't understand, they don't know what the goal of life is. Gati means the goal of life, that the real wealth of human life is the artha, the great advantage. Nate vidu, they don't know, svarta gatim, that their real wealth, their real goal is in Vishnu, the Vishnu. Unfortunately, people do not know that their self-interest is to return home, back to Godhead, or to approach Lord Vishnu. Dorashaya ye bahur arta manina. Instead, they are simply bewildered. Every human being is expected to perform duties meant for approaching Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Yamaraj advises the Yamadutas to bring him those persons who have forgotten their duties toward Lord Vishnu. Akrita Vishnu Kachan. One who does not chant the holy name of Vishnu, Krishna, who does not bow down to the deity of Vishnu, and who does not remember the lotus feet of Vishnu is punishable by Yamaraj. In summary, all avaishnavas or non-vaishnavas, persons unconcerned with Lord Vishnu, are punishable by Yamaraj. In this verse, what's interesting also is how Yamaraj is describing Ajamil. And Ajamil, he's chanting Narayan at the end of his life. Of course, he had been chanting through his life, calling his son. But he's saying here that even if once someone takes the holy name of the Lord, then they may be off limits to Yamaraj. You understand? So in this context, when I looked at this verse a little earlier, I thought of several shlokas from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And I want to read several verses. Now, guyatama, guya means confidential. And guyatama means most confidential. So Krishna giving the most confidential knowledge in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And these shlokas, the 29th, the 30th, 31st verse. And the purports are very nice, but I'll just summarize. Krishna says here, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me. And Srila Prabhupada, in this, Maite, is in me. Krishna says that devotee is in me and I am in him, and I am also a friend to him. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada describes how Krishna, just like the rain, if it's raining, like it's raining today, it'll rain on the cement, it'll rain on the trees, it'll rain on the ocean. He's indifferent like that. But if someone is taking interest in Krishna, and Krishna, ye yata mam prapajyante, tangs tataiva vajami ham, Krishna is the dearmost friend of everyone, then he will take interest in you. You see? So this is very, very important. You don't think that Krishna is not watching, Krishna doesn't care. Krishna cares very much. But he's watching to see if you are exceptional in that you care about him within this dark material world. You see? This is really the sum of what we're going to try and capture from this shloka today. Okay? And then this next verse, very famous verse that many preachers will preach, Apichetsu Duracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak Sadur Eva Sa Mantavya Samyag Vyavasito Hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Even if one commits the most abominable act. And in this purport is a very wonderful purport. You should take time to read and study and understand. Srila Prabhupada, he says that the abominable act is something done like accidentally. You understand? It's not like, someone is contemplating or they have a conspiracy to commit sinful acts. That's something else, you see? Because what we're trying to do, okay, because what do we have? We are not of this body. We're not of this world. This material world is Krishna's energy. And our soul, even, it belongs to Krishna. What we have is a very, 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 very minute, infinitesimal free will. So what we are trying to do in our lifetime as bhaktas, we are trying to purify our desire. We are trying to develop our character. So at the very end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada, he says, devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. You understand? So you're not going to cohabitate with Maya. You're going to say, I am declaring war on this illusory energy. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs, as previously explained. No one should take advantage of this verse to commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is understood that he is not a high devotee. Okay? So, I mean, there are all classifications of devotees. You know, and we know that, like Kanishtha Adhikari, a devotee who sees Krishna or God only in the temple. And then Madhyama Adhikari, they see the Lord within the temple, and they see the Lord also within the devotees. And then Uttama Adhikari is someone who sees Krishna in everything and in everyone and in every being. So these are different stages of purification, of reality, because it's true. Krishna is here in the temple, but he is also in the heart of the Vaishnava. And lo and behold, he's within everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. You see? So how our consciousness will be cleared by this process of bhakti yoga, by the chanting of the holy names. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. We're clearing off the consciousness just like you're brushing away the dust off a mirror. Consciousness is pure originally. The constitutional consciousness is Krishna consciousness. But then covered over by conditioning, it's reflected in so many different ways, just like a dusty mirror. So we want to try to attain that high level of clarity through the process of bhakti yoga. And then Krishna says, he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace, O son of Kunti. And then Krishna tells Arjuna, you declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. And I've heard other people say that this is important, because someone may say, well, Krishna, you know, he may not always keep his promise. Just like he said, you know, I won't fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But he did. He took up a real chakra against Bhishma. So this is the idea that the devotee will never lie. Krishna knows it. He may sometimes, you know, not keep his promise because of his independence. But when he says, you, Arjuna, declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish. You see? So in this way, we can understand the importance of devotional service. Now, when you look at things, you know, we talked about Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti a little bit. And last night we had a very nice lecture by Omkar, by the way. Very enlightening lecture. I really enjoyed that lecture. And Vaidhi Bhakti is, you know, the prescriptions by the Gurudev. Now, why it is important to accept Gurudev? Okay, why is it important? The first thing is, you cannot be your own guru. Let me repeat this again. You cannot be your own guru. Let me repeat this a third time. You cannot be your own guru. Okay? And Srila Prabhupada told me that once myself. I was a little rebellious. How would you like to be told that by Prabhupada? You cannot be Pushta Krishna, you cannot be your own guru. Heavy duty. But I needed it. So let me emphasize this, that if you want guidance, you can't look to yourself for that guidance. Because you are a fallen conditioned soul, as we are, we will cheat ourselves. We will cheat ourselves. We came to this material world to become independent falsely, to become the center of everything, to become the enjoyer. I mean, you know, when you're walking down the street, you see something that you like, you're not thinking, oh, I hope someone else likes that too. I mean, you're thinking about yourself. That's the illusory energy. You will cheat yourself if you try to give yourself the ultimate guidance that you need in spiritual life. Therefore, if you're fortunate, you get a good guru, and you follow your Gurudev as you would, you know, your mind is being a rascal, then you follow your Gurudev's instruction. You ministry. And at the end of the, I think it's the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Srila Prabhupada talking about the mind, he said, my Gurudev, my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he told me, how do you deal with the mind? How you deal with it? You don't deal with it. You don't listen to it. You beat it with a shoe 100 times in the morning and 100 times in the evening. You beat it with a shoe. Until your mind becomes your friend in Krishna consciousness, you don't listen to it. That's what it means to accept a guru. It's not a pet. I have a guru. I was, where did I see? I think I was reading a Back to Godhead magazine in the room I'm staying in. And it said that, you know, this man came down the street in Mayapur on the road in front of the Chandradoya Mandir, and he had a tricycle, three-wheeled bicycle, and in the back it had a container like you were going to sell some hot food or something. And he opens up, and what he's doing, he's selling initiations for 2 rupees. 2 rupiah, you can become initiated. You see, that kind of initiation, of course, is useless. You see, you want a pet, you can buy a pet for 2 rupees. But if you want a guru, you see, guru's business, there were some disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the earlier days. They had their own mind about things. One of them said, Srila Prabhupada, I don't want to go back to Godhead. I want to go to the heavenly planets. What was Srila Prabhupada's response? Then you do not need me as guru. You understand? He rejected them. A guru's business is to save his disciple's soul. That is the guru's business. A very serious business. You know, someone who becomes a guru just to have some pratishta, they don't know what they're getting themselves into. It's a very serious business to take that responsibility. You see? And now I want to explain to you that each of us is guru to each other. We are siksha gurus to each other, is it not? You are learning from me, I am learning from you, and we are learning from each other. That responsibility is very great. In other words, the association that you have with other devotees, it is a very serious business. It is a rather formal business, you might say. You know, someone might say, well, geez, you know, when I was out in the material world, you know, I used to pal around with my buzz and used to have a lot of fun and this. It's not like that. You see, association with devotees is a formal affair. It's a formal affair. Because you have to tell me something that doesn't do violence to me. You have to tell me something that gives me encouragement in my spiritual life. And I, in turn, have to give you something that will give you some encouragement. You understand? This is what association with devotees is. This, in this regard, we are all siksha gurus to each other. What you have learned, what experience you have, what realization you have, you can share that with others. You understand? But don't drag them down. You see? That will be violence. So in this way, this is a very nice verse because Yamaraj, first of all, again, he is only dealing with the human beings, not with other creatures. And here, in referring to Ajamil, he says, if even once someone takes the holy name or bows down before the Lord. You see? And Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita is told, you declare to the world that my devotee will never be vanquished. So, someone chanting the holy name, maybe even once, with some sincerity, that may be enough for Krishna to say, you know, next time we'll carry on with their human life. You know, they can become possibly bhakta again in their next life and continue on. The idea is this, that we have a transcendental bank account. It's not a material bank account. A material bank account, you put some money into, it may develop some interest or some dividend or what have you. And then at the end of life, you have nothing. Because you can't take that with you. It's of this world. It is anityam, temporary. But you have an eternal bank account. You know, this bank account, the Jews call it the book of life. I don't even know what that is. But this much I know, I've heard from Srila Prabhupada, that you have an eternal bank account. This bank account you are depositing in, it is never, ever depleted. It is never depleted. When you're depositing in Krishna consciousness, your service, your energy, your time, your hopes, your desires, that stays with you. You understand? That stays with you. That's why, we have so many bhaktas. They've come to Krishna consciousness. They may have gone away from Krishna consciousness in their life. But they need to be given encouragement also, if opportunity exists. And remember, we talked about this yesterday in a small group of us after the talk. If you give encouragement to others, you are not lessened by that. You are empowered by Krishna by that. When you give encouragement to others, you are not disappearing. You see, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they plundered the storehouse of Krishna consciousness. But it didn't disappear. The treasure of Krishna consciousness was being thrown out everywhere. They were plundering it and giving it away wholesale. But they found that it was still there. It was still full. This is Krishna consciousness. If you'll give encouragement, if you will not think about yourself but be selfless, you'll see that you will discover yourself. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness. Self-realization is not that you realize yourself. Self-realization is that you realize Krishna. Krishna consciousness is self-realization. Then you become situated in your constitutional position as the eternal loving servant of Krishna. And we talked about this a little bit, that in the spiritual world, Krishna is the center. He's all attractive, is it not? Everything and everyone, all consciousness going toward Krishna, even the trees, even the grass and the spiritual grass, the cows, the monkeys, whatever spiritual beings are about, the whole energy, the whole environment is conscious. It is not made of matter. It is all going toward Krishna. And that example there in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is like a great magnet. And we living entities are like little iron filings drawn to the center. You've ever seen a powerful magnet? You put some iron filings out, whoosh, they go right to the center. You see? This is spiritual life. You see? The gopis are not thinking about themselves. They're thinking about Krishna. The cowherd boys are not thinking about themselves. They're thinking about Krishna. Mother Yashoda is not thinking about herself. She's thinking about Krishna. Everything in Vrindavan is thinking about Krishna. Krishna conscious, you see? So this is the ideal. Now, we have an opportunity in this human form of life. Why it is that Yamaraj is only concerned about human beings? I think Vyasadeva gives us that understanding. That human life, atato brahma jignasa, human life is not meant for acting like an animal. Human life is not meant for doing the same things that every animal can do. Animals eat, and human beings eat. So big deal, we all eat. Does that make us human? No. Animals sleep, and human beings also sleep. Maybe in a big house, maybe in a cave, maybe in a little tunnel in the ground if you're an ant, but still sleeping is sleeping. Animals defend themselves. Even cockroaches. If you go to step on a cockroach, it runs away. It's defending itself. It doesn't want to die. Human beings also, they don't want to die. And mating is universal. Even the paramecium, one-celled creatures, they're mating in some way or another to divide and become another paramecium. So there's nothing unique about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But in the human form of life, there is something very unique. And that is the consciousness that we have. You know, when I first started hearing about this Krishna, I feel like a Christian preacher. When I first started hearing about Krishna consciousness and the idea that God is a spiritual person, you know, with a transcendental body with two arms And, you know, if you think about the human consciousness having, you know, like two hands and two legs like Krishna, you could see that the consciousness has evolved. The transmigration through samsara has evolved to this point where you have a, you know, man is created in God's image. Biblical conception is very true. That we are created in God's image, because God has two hands, two legs. His eyes are not white or brown or green or yellow. They're red like lotus flowers. And they will absorb you into a loving affair that you cannot even imagine. His eyes are unique. His face is broad, blackish blue. His smile is ear to ear, and beautiful transcendental pearls down the side of his face. And he has a dainty Keshava. He has very fine transcendental hair and beautiful golden dress. Krishna is very beautiful, you see. But we also have two arms. They're material arms. They're not spiritual arms. But our consciousness has evolved, if you can think of it this way, to the platform where we're very, 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 very close to that spiritual form. You understand? Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now, Vyasadeva says, you have human form. Now you have to consider what is what. What is Brahman? What is spirit? You see, what is the business of human life? It is this. You see? And all of the great religious traditions have said this. You know, Old Testament, New Testament. I don't know much about the Quran, but I'm assuming Quran saying this. All of the great religious traditions are saying this. That the human life is not meant to live like an animal. In fact, in the Vedic tradition, you know, Srila Prabhupada describes Varnashram Dharma in this purport. Those who are outside of Varnashram Dharma are not even considered civilized. They're not even considered civilized. In other words, if you are a unsense-controlled human being who lives without any respect for authority, and we're talking about higher spiritual authority, you're not even considered human, practically. You are uncivilized. This is the standard of Vedic culture. You understand? Someone outside of Vedic culture is not Brahmin, not Kshatriya, not Vaishya, not Shudra. They're not even civilized. You understand? And so this is the important thing to gather here. So, in our human life, what we want to take home today is that you have minute free will, and your business in human life is to purify your desire. You will not be able to do it without the help of Gurudev. You will fail if you do it without the help of Gurudev. That's why you have to have a spiritual master. Whether you take it as initiation, formal initiation, or Siksha Guru, there may be some issue there. Siksha is most important. But the real reason for Diksha in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition is that you learn the offenses against the holy name. This is the real reason. When you are initiated into Krishna consciousness, you are initiated into the chanting of the holy name properly, without offense. You see? So like this morning, I'm chanting japa, and I'm thinking, oh, geez. I'm sitting here chanting, and I'm thinking, oh, I must remember the offenses of the holy name. You have to learn those offenses of the holy name. You can't allow your mind to tell you, oh, what is this? I could be doing something else. You understand? You can't be doing anything else. This is your duty to do this. Because this is what will bring you up. Clarify your consciousness. Purify your desire. Make you eligible to live with Krishna again. Okay? Very, very important. Any questions or discussion? Yes, sir. Did you have a question? Or are you just yawning?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. I have a question about the first part of your presentation when you began by pointing out how Krishna tells Arjuna, well, that Krishna sometimes may not keep his promise.
Yes.
That the devotee should instead declare it boldly. Someone may raise the question that, well, the devotee is not perfect. Why should I believe the devotee? We know that Krishna may not keep his promise, and the devotee is not, he may become illusioned. So why do I necessarily, or who do I accept, in other words?
Arjuna is not Krishna Hari Kumar. Arjuna is not Madhya Hari Kumar. Arjuna is Krishna's friend. Arjuna is very, very high. So when Arjuna will say, then it will be listened to. Like that.
By that quality of devotee, you can believe. Similarly, if Srila Prabhupada says, if you will follow the regulative principles of spiritual life, if you will chant the holy name, you will go back to Godhead. You will go back to Godhead. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful. But Nityananda Prabhu, even more merciful. We know this from the Jagan Bada incident. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry that Jagayan Marai had injured Nityananda Prabhu by throwing something at his head and cutting his head. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to kill these dacoits, unbehaved fallen Brahmins. But Nityananda Prabhu gave mercy to them. So in this way, we can understand that in some regards, the devotee of the Lord is even more important than the Lord himself. We know that Krishna himself even becomes the devotee of his devotee. This is the nature of rasa, the nature of reciprocation. That Arjuna, he is desirous of going out onto the battlefield. And he tells Krishna, you please take me out onto the battlefield. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet he is acting as the charioteer of Arjuna. Krishna has taken a subservient position even to Arjuna. This is very remarkable. In this way, as best I can impress, that standard of devotee, that quality of devotee, what they say, because Krishna is bound by the love of his devotees and bound by the honor of his devotees, it will come to pass. This is the meaning, as I understand it. That if Arjuna will say, then Krishna himself will be bound by what Arjuna says. You understand? That's my gestalt, my take on this. Do you have a question?
Thank you for your inspiring class. You were in the beginning quoting Bhagavad Gita 9:29. I envy no one nor am I partial to anyone. Skipping ahead. A devotee is a friend is in me and I am also a friend to him. Isn't everybody always in him anyways? Isn't he always in everybody regardless?
Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, they are in me and are mine. This is very mystical. Okay? How you can be in Krishna and also outside of Krishna? This is a mystical thing. You see? It is beyond material senses to appreciate. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, for example, that everything is contained within him. Mayi sarvam idam purvatam. Everything is like pearls strung on a thread. It's connected with him. And then he says to Arjuna, but behold my mystic opulence. Still I am different. I am separate. As creator. In other words, the apparent contradictions that exist exist because Krishna is Krishna. He is the supreme absolute truth, completely independent. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada didn't always like the word mystical because he liked the word spiritual. Spiritual implies a different plane of existence, a different plane of experience altogether, rather than mystical, which is like, you know, someone might think, if I become a mystic, then I can walk on water or I can, you know, do some trick or something. That may be mystical. But spiritual is the very nature of the thing. It's the constitutional position of the thing. You know, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a little pamphlet called Easy Journey to Other Planets. He's talking about the spirit soul. The spirit soul can travel between planets. It has that kind of freedom. You know, here in the material world, you have two souls within the body. One is the jiva soul, and one is the paramatma. But in the spiritual world, you don't need the paramatma. You understand that? Paramatma is existing here in the spiritual, in the material world. The paramatma is, you know, almost like a lila avatar in the sense that he exists within creation to observe and to give sanction to the things that are taking place here. Nityo nityanam chetana chetananam eko bahunam jovidadati kama. So the material world is going on, and in this regard, your desire, your inner desire, Krishna knows that desire. You have guru outside, you have guru inside also. You're covered on both ends. And if you begin to feel the necessity for having guidance, for having guru, both outside and inside, you'll be protected. All you have to do then is just purify your desire. Work on your character. Work on your desire. You know, Confucius, he used to say that the worst thing is to be inconsistent. To have a person who is inconsistent, you don't know what they're going to do. They're unpredictable. So you want to become consistent and predictable to Krishna. You understand? You don't want to become inconsistent. You want to have steady character, always going toward the center. Develop and purify that desire and work on that. That is your work in sadhana. Did I answer that question?
Thank you very much, Pananda Mukhtar.
I want to just say, in Vaikuntha, there are countless four-handed forms. And sometimes, if Lord Vishnu wants to show himself, they may disappear. They are literally within him. But only on the side. Within him. The personality of Godhead, and yet still outside of him. And I can't go any further with that. But the point is, it's true. Now, Prabhu, I yesterday I saw Amalabhatta. And I want to tell you, I have so much respect for this man. You see, Amalabhatta, he will feel embarrassed and hit me on the head. But, you know, this man is a seeker of God. He's a seeker of truth. Before he came to Krishna consciousness, just like Radhanaswami, he was a seeker. You know, he was out in a cave somewhere. Amalabhatta was seeking the truth. And when he came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's teachings, then he realized, you know, this is a higher truth than me as a Mayavadi sannyasi am experiencing, and he took it. He's a sincere seeker. And not only that, even though he may be very qualified to be a sannyasi and to get so much honor, you know, this man has never aspired for that. He is free from the desire for pratishtha. Really, I look upon him as a great devotee. because I respect his qualities. I respect his qualities. No, I mean, when I just thinking of him, I feel purified, honestly. Yes.
Now, thank you very much for your kind words, which I feel undeserving of. Nonetheless, I will accept them graciously as a Vaishnava, but not believe them at all. I'd like to just add a comment to your comment, which I appreciate very much. And I was about to say that I enjoyed your class very much. You made so many wonderful insights and points, and thank you so much for that. The point I was about to add in regard to the question that was asked by the devotee here, that I am in, I envy no one nor am I partial to anyone, I'm equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is in me and I am a friend to him. So in me means not just, yes, Krishna is in everyone, but he's responding to everyone differently. He can simply be a witness, an observer, a watcher, or he can be a participant. He can be a part of your life. When he says, he is in me and I am in him, that gives a sense of togetherness, a sense of intimacy, a sense of closeness, as opposed to merely, for example, I'm looking at you now and we're looking at each other. Okay, that we're looking, we're watching, we're observing. But when your class is over, and if I stand up and you stand up, and I embrace you, and you embrace me, I embrace, and you embrace me, we come to a closer degree of intimacy. And I think that's what Krishna means. There's intimacy.
I disagree. I think it means literally that Krishna is within you.
Well, he is in.
It is literal,
but I don't think you understand my point. No, my point is not that we're... No, he's in me and he's in you, but how he's responding while he's within you is different. And there are many verses to justify this point that I'm making. He's responding differently to each person.
God is up there, you know. God is within you. You know, there's this one Christian preacher, I like this guy because of the way he looks at Paramatma.
His name is Charles Stanley. You know, I'm a Jewish boy, but I like a lot of things in Christianity. Charles Stanley talks about the Holy Spirit. You know, it used to be called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We call it Paramatma. And he says, each Holy Spirit is dealing with you differently than you, differently than you. This is a mystical thing. You know, when there was this movie 2001, a long, long time ago, back in the 60s, and they kind of projected God as a monolithic stone. You know what I'm saying? If you ever saw that movie, they kind of make him like a monolith. This is God. You know, like a stone. He's just there. You know, like the Muslims have the stone that they circumambulate in Mecca or something like that. But it's not like that. God is Advaita Achuta Anadim Ananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Nava Jovanacha. He has unlimited forms, and yet he is still Advaita. He's non-dual. He's one. You know, Srila Prabhupada gives the example that, you know, you can take a candle, and you can light another candle and another candle and another candle from the first candle. These are material examples of something which is inconceivable. Advaita Achuta Anadim Anantarupam means that Krishna has expanded himself into countless forms. Nothing is existing but Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvaniti. Nothing is existing but God. Now, how he is existing, that you can learn. You know, there was this one man, one of my old friends, Adi Keshava, was telling me he was at a lecture with Srila Prabhupada in northern India. And you know how the Indians, they're kind of addicted to Mayavad philosophy, impersonalism. Because they think that if you expand everything to the greatest, it must be formless. You know, this is their misconception of what God is. The unique quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Creator. So this man said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, Swamiji, isn't it just like, you know, the streams and rivers run into the ocean and then they become like the ocean, one. And he said, do you understand that in the ocean there are different kinds of fish? There are sharks and whales and minnows. In other words, there is differentiation within reality. This is the nectar of reality, that there is differentiation. You see? So Krishna, who is the supreme absolute truth, doesn't like monotony. It doesn't please him. It doesn't do him any pleasure. And so he has expanded himself for pleasure. He has expanded himself as Vishnu Tattva for various purposes, for lila and for enjoyment and for receiving service from his devotees and reciprocating with them. And he has expanded himself as the jiva souls. Why? To increase the pleasure. Not only that, but Krishna appreciates. You know, I had this one attending physician in New York when I did my fellowship, Alan Ingalls, very nice man. And he always used to, in a very kind of a childish way, he'd say, everyone must show some appreciation. He would say it just like that. Appreciation. Krishna is the biggest appreciator. Ye yatamam prapadyante tangstataiva bhajayam. You surrender to Krishna as you surrender, he reciprocates with you. He gives back to you more than even you can give to him. You see, this is Krishna. He has expanded himself. So much ecstasy the devotees will experience. And giving back to Krishna. Krishna is through their senses. Because your senses are part and parcel of Krishna's senses. You see, your senses are expansions of Krishna as well. Your spiritual senses. In this way, Krishna has expanded his pleasure. Is that clear? This is what is going on. This is the MO of God. This is his modus operandi. He is a big time enjoyer. He likes pleasure. And that's why we, in our tiny infinitesimal form, also like pleasure. The thing is, and as we're walking on the beach after a terrible car accident the morning in Mauritius after that car accident, Ramananda and I were walking with Srila Prabhupada. We're all wounded and everything. Prabhupada walking along with his stick on the beach. And he's saying, talking about this whole business that people want to enjoy. And Brahmananda Prabhu said, but they don't know how to enjoy. That's correct. They want to enjoy, but they don't even know how to enjoy. Gurudev not only is teaching you how to discipline yourself, he's teaching you how to really enjoy. He's teaching you really where the nectar is. You want some nectar from, you know, the lower things in the material world? You don't need a guru for that. That's your animal sense. But you want to really experience the highest ecstasy, the greatest pleasure, the real nectar, you need a guru for that. That's the business. That's what's going on. I hate to disagree. Yeah. But really, truly within Krishna. Krishna is mystical? No, he is spiritual. He's everywhere. He's in everything. He's not visible all the time. He's not visible to everyone in every way. But he's everywhere. Now imagine if you had that consciousness that Krishna is outside and Krishna is inside. And you sing this song, Bahir Nishingo Hridaye Nishingo. Krishna is outside Krishna is inside. He's everywhere. Now, do you want to be part of that or not? Do you want to remain illusioned or not? There's your choice in human life. Literally, inside and outside. Literally, inside and outside. Anything else? Before I offend another bunch of them? Yes. First I tell him what a wonderful Vaishnava.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you for nice class. You mentioned in your class something about accidental fall down. And accidental fall down. Yeah. If my understanding is correct, if you have accidental fall down, but if you come back, Krishna will still, if you won't go back to Godhead, you know, Krishna can fulfill your desire. But in another sense, if you're not accidental fall down and you're planning to do that, but still, after some times, you come back and you still do your service very sincerely. And that Krishna can reward you also if you have a desire to go back to Godhead, to go back to Godhead?
Yes. The thing is here is, the question really is, we're talking about accidental fall down. And what I try to highlight in that is what I think Srila Prabhupada, is that you must not conspire. You understand? You must not conspire in your mind that I will sin on the strength of the holy name. You understand? This is different than accidental fall down, accidental mistake. So, as Srila Prabhupada said here, you're developing your character in as a human being. You're developing your character as a devotee. Okay? There's no Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde here. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, we might see that, you know, a devotee seems very, very high. I can't mention names amongst my god brothers to do this. But then they will commit abominable acts. Okay? But if they're conspiring to commit abominable acts, then that is not acceptable. That means that they don't have very high character. They're not a very high quality devotee. You understand? So accidental is accidental. It means that because of weakness, being in contact with the material energy, someone may do something. But that is not the end of your devotional service. You see? You must again understand that there's no pride here. You know, that I am doing something, or there's no pride here. We are serving at the pleasure of our Gurudev. We are serving at the pleasure of Krishna. There's no pride. No, and we want people, like for example, some of our first generation godbrothers, of which I am too. You know, we want them to feel encouragement that they can come to Krishna consciousness and serve their Gurudev and serve the community and be of service. We want to give that kind of encouragement. And we want to give that kind of encouragement to newcomers, like, you know, Bhakti Stephen. Yesterday, you know, I was sitting outside, and a new bhakta, Prabhu. I didn't know he was a new bhakta. He might have been here 10 years for all I know. And I said, so when did you come? He said, I spent my last night here, my first night here last night. He's brand new. You know, you can still smell the leather inside the car. He's right off the lot. You know what I'm saying? He's a brand new bhakta, you know? Give encouragement to him. You know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, who is most dear to me? Those who teach the science of surrender to the bhaktas. Now, if I walk up to Naikatma, he's a seasoned devotee, and I start preaching to him, he'll say, oh, geez, I've heard all this stuff. You know, come on, Prabhu. But if I walk up to Stephen, who's brand new, he's like a sponge. You know, what you tell me is what I'm going to, is the foundation of what I'm going to get. You want to make an impact on his life, give him energy and time. You want to become dear to Krishna, you'll become dear to Krishna. Just by doing that. You understand? I hope you understand. You give energy where it's needed. You see? You give energy where it's needed. And this is how Srila Prabhupada created the Hare Krishna movement. People who first came to him, they didn't know anything about Krishna. You know, Srila Prabhupada personally used to prepare prasadam, and he used to roll it up into a japati, and he used to personally hand it to someone. Here, take some prasadam. That's how it happened. With his own hand. Do you understand? And this is how things really go on. Just because you have a big institution doesn't mean that they don't go on like that. That's what personalism is, I think. You know, treating each individual very personally. And forgetting about yourself. Because you're not going to disappear. You're going to discover your Krishna consciousness by giving service to the devotees. Oh, I have my service. I'm very happy with my service. I'm very proud of my service. You're lost. Lost. But if I can give service to the devotees and forget about myself for a while, I'm finding a little bit more about myself. Plus, Krishna is reciprocating. I know that's the right thing to do. But I feel it. I don't need a degree to feel it. You understand? Do that. Be good to each other. This is what the society is all about. And it will be a very strong association all the time that way. Any other comments, questions? Anyone else I can... Yes. 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 Yes.
In fact, quite the majority of the pastimes in Krishna book have so much to do with Dwarka, and Krishna's fighting the demons to fight to protect the Dwarka fort and so many things.
But Prabhupada gave that. That's why he gave it. But where is Dwarka? Dwarka is not the coast, you know, the ocean. And it's opulent because Krishna is. And new Dwarka is opulent. This is an opulent presentation of Krishna consciousness for that reason. But don't think that Radharani is not thinking about
Dwarka now. Because that is Madhava. You see, so he may be Dwarkadish or Dwarkanath, but Radharani is thinking, oh, come back to me. You see, this is the union and separation. The point I'm trying to make is this, is that Srila Prabhupada was not in any way, shape, or form ignorant of the Vrindavan conception. He came from Vrindavan. He lived in Vrindavan. In fact, he lived right next to Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. His room was there. That's where he wrote and translated the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's where he began to write the Bhakti Godhead magazine in Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan. And Damodar is a name of Krishna in Vrindavan, obviously. But the point is this, is that there may be some who have posed themselves as rasic gurus, that they know what your lila is and who you are, what gopi you are, or something like this. This we reject. Okay? This kind of, you know, taking conditioned souls and concocting, we reject that. We reject that. Here in New Dwarka, when I was Srila Prabhupada's secretary in 1976, there were a group of devotees who created something called the Gopi Baba Club. The Gopi Baba Club. So this letter, I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Srila Prabhupada, he heard all the letters that came to him. You know, I've known other acharyas, they don't really take the time, you know. Srila Prabhupada heard all the letters, and I would type up his response, and then he would read the response, and he would even make comments or remarks or corrections on the response, because he read them, and then he would sign them, personally. Okay? So he heard all these things. So I read this letter about the Gopi Baba Club, and Srila Prabhupada did, Gopi Baba Club? What is this? Acharya, as he said to me, he said, let them chant Hare Krishna for 300 years first, then talk about the gopis. That was his reply. That's from the horse's mouth. So the point is this, is that you may be very eager to enter into Krishna Leela, but you're not qualified. If you try to enter into fire and you're not fire, you will burn up. That spiritual realm, unless you are spiritualized, Krishnized. In other words, you're not going to enter into the spiritual world with a conditioned mentality. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But you will enter into the spiritual world when you become Krishna conscious. And your relationship with Krishna will become immediately revealed. And not only that, but you won't even care. Because all you're caring about is Krishna and pleasing Krishna. This is the nature of the spiritual world. The spiritual world is not where I'm looking for some pratishta. I want to be known as a gopi. Or I want to be known as a cowherd boy. Or I want to be known as this or that. That's maya. That is prakrita sahajya. Prakrita means material, and sahajya means bringing it down to this level. It is not spiritual life. You know? It's just as bad as, you know, Christian people on the street, you know, ranting and raving like they're Christ or something. It's just as bad as that. This is real spiritual life, real standard, is that you have to have dharyat, nishayad, you have to have patience, you have to have determination. You see, this is what Rupa Goswami said. You have to, oh, there's one other, dharyat, huh? Utsaha, nishayad, dharyat, yes. You have to be enthusiastic. Keep your enthusiasm up. And you have to be determined, and also you have to be patient. These three things, Rupa Goswami says, you know, cultivate them. Enthusiasm, determination, but patience. If it will come by Krishna's grace, you understand? Don't try to walk into spiritual life unqualified. You would not be happy. You will not get the nectar. It will be way short of that, because it's material. It's imaginary, and it's mentally concocted. So we reject that. You understand? But your relationship with Krishna will be immediately revealed. Rasa Vaisaha. Krishna is the center of all rasa. He's everything. And we know that, for example, there's Shantaras. And Shantaras is understanding God is great. And maybe like the cows in Vrindavan, they're having that feeling. Or the grass in Vrindavan, the transcendental grass, has that feeling. But the transcendental grass is not going to feel the mood of the gopis. Sakshi, which is conjugal, Madhurya. And then there is Dasya Ras. Dasya Ras, described like making thicker and thicker sugarcane juice, you know. Dasya Ras, there is awareness that the Lord is my master. And He is also great. But there's not the feeling that He is my child. That's one stage higher. That's it. Friendship, higher than servitude. Now, God is my master, God is great, but God is my friend. And you can have friendship that might be very formal, as in Vaikuntha, or very intimate, as in Goloka. But you won't have conjugal feeling. Because your rasa is with Krishna's friend. And then there is Mother Yashoda, and the lower rasas, not lower rasas, but the previous rasas, will be contained within Mother Yashoda, but you will also feel that I have to take care of him. He is like my child. He is dependent upon me. God is allowing himself to become dependent upon you. And then finally there is Madhurya Ras. All of the rasas are contained within that. Because like sugar candy being cooked, finally it becomes rock candy, that's Madhurya Ras. All of the rasas are contained within that. So the point is this, is that you have a constitutional position. Now, sometimes, and you know, there's discussion like this going on dhanabas.com that I'm a little involved with. Sometimes people that, you know, they want to think of themselves as a particular mood. They want to think of themselves as okay. No, don't do that. What you do, this is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, you take Raganuga upon your head. Okay? You take it upon your head. It is a worshipable ideal. You take it upon your head. You don't jump into it with mental concoction. You see? So, when discussing Krishna Leela, for example, we're talking about Krishna book, then you discuss it and you enjoy it. And lose yourself enjoying it. But don't think, oh, now I've become like this. Now I'm entering into I am Gopi or something like that. No, just appreciate. And you know, Uddhava, for example. Krishna sent Uddhava back to Vrindavan to learn about the exquisite, extraordinary love that the Gopis have for Krishna. And when he went back there and he saw them, he was just astounded. I mean, Uddhava is a very, very, very close friend of Krishna. They have good friendship. You know, they're really close. And he went back on Krishna's order, and he's seeing the gopis' love, and he said, wow, they're amazing. I just hope that I could become like a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that maybe they'll walk on me and I'll get some mercy from the dust of their lotus feet. You see? He's not thinking, oh, I want to be a gopi. He just wants their mercy. This is a pure divinity, transcendental divinity. How they're thinking is how, you know, you can think. You see? I had one lady, I was giving a talk in San Jose a couple years ago. I remember Indian lady. She said, you know, sometimes I think of myself like I'm Mother Yashoda. And I said, don't do that. Appreciate Mother Yashoda's love and her affection and her relationship with Krishna, but don't you think I'm Mother Yashoda. See, that's Sahajism. You don't want to go there. See? You understand that? You take it upon your head. Just like Uddhava wants to be blessed by the gopis' lotus feet dust. You take it upon your head. Your time will come. Time of the day. And your guru day. Your time will come. Promise is there. Any other? Anyway, I would very, very happy to be in this holy place. I spent time with Srila Prabhupada here in this temple. I gave my first massage to Srila Prabhupada upstairs. I didn't know how to massage Prabhupada. I gave many massages later on, because when he came to South Africa, I massaged him. From time to time, when Hari Suri couldn't give massage, I'd give massage. But the first time, I didn't know what I was doing. So massage is to stimulate circulation, you know. So Srila Prabhupada's sitting there, and he's got his dumsho on. I go to his... you start at the head, use sandalwood on the head, mustard seed oil on the body. I put some sandalwood oil on the head. And then, like, you know, like you're a 16-year-old on the beach, I'm gently massaging. And Srila Prabhupada said, "What is this?" He said to me, "Massage means hard." Then I very firmly gave him a sign. He said, "Yes." It was for his health. For his health, for his circulation. The Indian thing, the massage. But I must tell you that this temple is very, very important to Srila Prabhupada. And really, you can say that as goes Los Angeles, so goes the United States ISKCON. Really, this is the flagship temple of Krishna consciousness in America. So I think it's very, very important to realize the responsibility that you all have. And give encouragement to all the people who come. You know, ISKCON has changed over time. That's good. Krishna is in control of everything. But still, you know, the principles of Vaishnavism you always want to remember. You know, give encouragement, be affectionate with the devotees, and kind-hearted, you know, realize that this place is here for people. It is for you. The deities have come for you to give you opportunity to see them and to render service. It is for you that the temple is here. And Hari Bol. Time for Prasadam. Hare Krishna.